Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This week we're doing Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag and the BBC show Misfits. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. So here's a description of Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag, 1997. A mob bagman finds his luggage contains the proof of his gang's latest hit has been switched. Which would be a really crappy day if you went to show your boss and all of a sudden you got some dude's stinky laundry.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And all you can really say is Joe Pesci.
Well, you know, Joe Pesci was pretty much just taking advantage of his, you know, his movie fame of Goodfellas, Casinos, and the original Home Alone.
But that's been...
Yeah, well, it was the studios taking advantage of Joe Pesci's fame from stuff like Home Alone specifically.
Well, you know, they were just...
All of a sudden, here's this lovable guy who can, you know, be the gangster in this kind of a lighthearted way.
Yeah.
But that was pretty much him in the 90s. Anything after any of his mob movies was they always wanted that Joe Pesci. Take a look at him in the Lethal Weapon movies.
Well, yeah, I mean, him...
Oh, yeah, but the Lethal Weapon movies were actually a good, you know, character role, and it wasn't based around solely his character.
Oh, no, but I meant the character was pretty much a gangster. If you look at the way he's talking, his mannerisms...
Oh, of course.
It's him... Turned down a little, which is kind of weird.
Well, I mean, I don't blame the studios or Joe Pesci for accepting these types of things. I mean, he also did My Cousin Vinny, which is one of the better ones that came out of the Goodfellas and Casino.
Hell yeah.
Thing about My Cousin Vinny is I've actually heard lawyers watch that in class, and apparently it's really accurate.
I'm not surprised at all. There's some things I really appreciate about this film. I mean, I love the fact of everybody's reaction to the heads, and then the guy who takes it, the fiance of one of my all-time crushes, Christy Swanson, who the original Buffy from the movies, not Sarah Michelle Gellar. But
hell yeah.
So, you know, Andy Cameo, I liked his role in this one, especially the fact that after a while you totally see him become desensitized to the fact that he's carrying around a bunch of heads.
And this is pretty much, in my opinion, it's like Clue meets the Mob, especially with all the heads. My favorite part in the movie is when Joe Pesci's trying to find replacements and he's in that cryo lab. You know, they're brushing off heads like, hey, this will be a what's his name? Yeah. They brush off the other one. Yeah. Oh my God! Look,
I mean, you got Seth Green who really fell along in this thing, and I'm trying to remember the other guy's name. I gotta pull it up. Todd Luiso. I mean, I loved his character in there, where he just kind of like gets to the breaking point. These are people's heads we're talking about. And then they look at him, they're like, "Wait a minute, how did I not notice this before?" But you would make a good bad Frank. know, let's just keep this on the thing, you know. I mean, there's a lot of moments like that were really great.
That one Mexican waiter dude definitely regretted not letting that one guy throw the heads in the trash can.
Yeah.
By the way, who locks down a trash can?
Well, they explained it. You know, I mean.
I know, but still. Especially in Mexico. I mean, you think you just let it pass.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with my initial rating of this being a 3. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's an average Joe Pesci film for what came out of his success in the movies that we aforementioned.
You know, I agree with you. I think it's a total... What the hell's happening? Apparently somebody's storming our studio.
Yeah, I guess so.
I give it a 3. I mean, I never didn't like it a whole lot when I originally saw it. I thought I liked it a little bit better now. So strong 3.
Ryan?
Wow. It's a strong 1.5, I guess. It's an absolutely terrible movie.
I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, there's absolutely. I mean, this was literally written so Joe Pesci could lose his shit in a Joe Pesci way about 9 times. It's the only funny parts in the movie, aside from Christy Swanson's world's longest double take.
Yeah.
Dude,
you know, not to mention the weirdest, most acid trippy scene that I've seen whilst not on drugs.
I love the Haze Hitman song.
I was gonna say it's like the scene from Dumbo all over again. It's like all of a sudden you have these decapitated heads singing.
As far as Dumbo's concerned, at least you had a context for that.
I
knew that he was all jacked up.
I definitely give you that one. Like, yeah. What the hell?
No, all of a sudden I'm watching, I'm thinking, I'm high.
I was high the first time I saw this one, and I was busting up laughing because I love that scene. That's like my favorite scene.
Maybe that's why I have a little more of a fond memory, and then I'm watching this shit again like, what the fuck is wrong with me that I had any kind of fondness for this movie?
See, this is why I've always said weed gives you bad taste in movies and food. Because most of the stoners I know, minus some people, have horrible taste in movies. So, like, this movie's funny. It's like, what?
You know, I've watched those trauma films again, sober, and I've enjoyed them more than when I was high.
But trauma is completely different. No trauma doubt. Trauma is trauma. I mean, they do bad movies for the art of it.
They do it on purpose.
They're not like some guys that, I'm going to make an Academy Award winning movie, and it's like, a high school script.
You know, I got to say this about our show. The fact that how many times we bring up trauma and Wicked, I hope any of the viewers out there finally decide to go watch trauma films and write us about that. Or,
Yeah, oh no, please. I would love to hear just the average public's view of trauma. But the funny thing is with those movies, is even if you know exactly what their intention was, yeah. Which I didn't the first time I saw them.
Me neither.
You still don't appreciate it as much as you do the second time watching those.
Yeah. See,
and realizing, like, they actually did this movie. I can't fucking believe it.
See, I remember when I was a kid was when I first saw my first trauma movie, and I knew this was a bad movie. And then I realized at the time, oh, no, they're not making bad. This is not a good movie bad. This is a bad movie meant to be bad. So I kind of got it. Plus the fact is, as a kid, you're like, oh, this movie's hilarious. It's not until you're older and you're like, wow.
But as far as I'm concerned, this one for me, maybe it's just because I still have fondness for it. And I still bust up every time during the Hey Hitman song. That maybe that's just me, and I can see where you're coming from with a 0.5 or a 1, Ryan. I get it, but for me, I think like this one, as far as a Joe Pesci film, this is up there with My Cousin Vinny. It's not as good. I mean, be clear about that. It is definitely not as good as My Cousin Vinny, but I see it as one of his just mediocre. And that's why I'm giving it a 3. Mediocre comedy attempts.
I'll be honest. This movie's as bad as Exit to Eden with Rosie O'Donnell.
Damn.
Where
did you pull that out of? Head with Whoopi Goldberg.
I like Joe Pesci usually, but I'm going to have to revise my rating a little bit because thinking back about it, I mean, the Joe Pesci scenes were cool. The reaction scenes in the hotel rooms I liked, especially when the mom found the first head and was, he's a bad guy, and they kept popping her drugs.
She jumps across the table.
God, who's the orange guy? George Hamilton?
Yes.
The guy with the perpetually bad tan? He's like, I mean, if there's ever a guy who needs to be like a poster boy for skin cancer, it's him.
Yeah.
But damn, I have to agree with Ryan. This movie is just not that good.
Especially when compared to, I mean, this is in his heyday. He had done so many amazingly funny movies. He had already done The Home Alones. It was right after Casino. He'd already done Goodfellas. My Cousin Vinny. I mean, all of those were before this. I mean, Joe Pesci was Joe Pesci in so many other movies that this one was unnecessary.
So
wait a minute, you're kind of saying like this is the tag team of Chris Farley and David Spade, but after they've done all the good ones. So this is like Beverly Hills Ninja.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, after you it's just this vehicle for him to be him.
So I wanted
we just need a reason to get Chris Farley to go fucking ape shit in a room somewhere.
So just a little history what Ryan was saying in the movies he did. In 97 is when Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag came out. 95 was Casino.
Yeah.
The other ones people like that I know of is A Bronx Tale, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, which is 92.
I almost forgot about A Bronx Tale.
Lethal Weapon in 92, My Cousin Vinny in 92. The Super 91, which was okay.
And then you
so
have
this was, yeah, this was, I would say definitely, if this wasn't the height of his career, it was definitely kind of the waning ends of it. Because, well, he's done movies. He hasn't done a whole lot.
No, he hasn't done anything since.
According to this, he did Lethal Weapon in 98.
Yeah.
He did The Good Shepherd. I don't know how long of a role that was. Love Ranch. And in 95, it looks like he did a voiceover for some movie I can't pronounce.
All right. Just click on it. Sarva, I think.
So, yeah. I don't blame
Sava.
Him. At this point, he's probably like, you know, I've done everything. So I don't really blame him.
You know, I got to say,
I never blame an actor for taking money, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm. Well, except for Benny Affleck. I mean, seriously, paycheck? I mean, goddamn.
Yeah,
if
there was ever a movie that just called it like it was.
Yeah.
Halle Berry's Catwoman?
Ooh, no.
Yeah, well, at least they didn't name her movie Paycheck.
Yeah.
You've got to admit.
Literally, hey, listen, we're going to title this movie I'm Doing This for the Money.
You know, the best thing about it's truth in advertising. Yeah. I mean, you can't blame a guy yeah. for saying, this movie is so shitty, I'm going to name it Paycheck so everybody knows. Yeah. I'm just cashing it in.
What's funny is how much money they threw into a movie like Paycheck with Uma Thurman and Aaron Eckhart.
So do you have anything to say before we go to the ratings?
No, go ahead.
So I'm. Not begrudgingly, I'm definitely have to say I'm giving this a one. Kind of listening to the Ryan a little bit and kind of my feelings on it. Unfortunately, obviously you notice this is an audio only. Our TriCaster crashed. But yeah, this is a strong or weak 1.0. This just movie just, to quote Bart Simpson, sucked and blowed.
Yeah. I got to go with you guys on it. I mean, especially looking at the resume he had before it. I don't know if I'll go as low. I won't go as low as a one, and I'm not a big fan of the 0.5s or anything. So, you know, I don't know. You know what? Honestly, I'm not a big fan of the 0.5s, but I will actually go with a 1.5. I mean, especially since you, like you said, you do have George Hamilton in there. I mean, he was the original Trump before Trump became cool.
Or the angry orange.
Well, that's where I was going with it. He was
No, I meant that cartoon character, the angry orange.
Oh, jeez. And maybe it's because
of the angry orange, Trump definitely could take a page out of Hamilton's book on how to do an even tan.
Yeah, that's a good point. But
you should just stop tanning with magic markers.
I still do have a fondness for the Hey Mr. Hitman song. That one busts me up every time, and I just enjoy it. I also like the fact of when Joe Pesci just sits there and beats the crap out of the phone and then breaks it and then looks at somebody, what? Here. Hands it to him. So, I mean, there was some good moments in it, but, you know, Ryan's right. It was just basically Joe Pesci blowing his top just to blow his top.
So,
yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know, we do have a Facebook page. Is, for example, a movie you'd want us to do, is there
a
movie
trauma.
News? Movie news you want us to do, let us know. You can also catch us on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and more. So, we're going to switch over to Misfits. According to this, it's 2009 to 2013.
Yes.
A group of young offenders doing community service get struck by lightning during a storm and begin to develop superpowers.
So, you know, I picked this episode on purpose for John. I really did. This is I'm pretty sure Ryan didn't take the time to actually watch it, but this is the granny screwing episode. And I did this one on purpose just because I knew and Ryan's giggling now. I mean, did you like the sex scene when they're going up on the chair?
Now, I'm going to have to explain myself. I've never actually done coitus with an old person. Just to let you know.
She didn't look old at the beginning.
So what this is I did a shit, man. Years ago, I did driver training, and the lady who was running it, let's just say, was probably north.
Wait, she looked like her?
No, she was north of 90, probably. I'm being.
She was 83 in this.
So she was flirting with me, and I remember thinking, can I be an example of red asphalt at this moment? It's like, is there a car I can crash? Shit, man. You know, to me, this was a little bit of a Heroes ripoff, but done better.
Yeah, I agree. This was BBC's version of Heroes.
I'm beginning to like BBC a lot more. For one, even though I think this was a little bit overacted, on the verge of being overdramatic, it was just better. The script was better. The writing seemed to fit all the characters. And doesn't have the flavor of the Alphabet Channel, so if you get my drift.
Yeah. I agree with you. They're beginning episodes, and the way they take it, and Ryan and I have mentioned this before, we like the fact that BBC takes the time to develop characters. And they really do. I'm trying to remember the character's name.
I do got to say something. The quality of the cinematography is well done. For being a standard TV show, it was beautiful.
Yeah, and for being not the biggest budget thing around, you know? I mean, they did this on a shoestring and did a really good job.
I'm amazed.
You know, I mean, they got good actors. You know, that's the funny thing about it is kind of over the top or a little melodramatic as some of the characters got. You know, it was still kind of fun to watch him, and then freaking, you know, Ramsay Bolton over there killing it before he gets famous, you know?
Yeah, I really got to say, Ian Rowan is a fantastic actor, especially in this one, because he does do the slow bad guy change, and he did it so well in this one. I'm sure that's the big one that got him the role of Ramsay Bolton. Another one is Robert Sheehan, who played Nathan Young. He's the guy who had sex with the old lady in this episode. The development of his character was really well done as well. So I enjoy this one. This one gives you a great introduction into Nathan's character. The first episode is pretty well done as well, but I like this one because you're already in there. You already kind of have the powers going on, and they're trying to figure all that stuff out. And you get kind of a glimpse of how it actually happened, because the old lady, what she says is that she was thinking, "I wish I was young," the moment that the meteor struck. And that's why she became young all of a sudden.
Have you watched more of this?
Oh, I've watched the entire thing.
So do they actually explain exactly how it worked?
No, they do kind of go into the closer you are, the more of an impact it had on you and things like that. But they don't really go into where the meteor came from or how it did the storm and struck them. They don't get into the scientific things.
They didn't ruin the magic.
No, they didn't.
That's cool. See, the problem is, like, I don't know if Heroes did. I didn't get to watch the whole show. But a lot of these shows like this, like, ruin the magic, and you're just like, oh, okay, so some sort of bug in your body, Star Wars, allows you to do some sort of fancy thing.
Yeah. Now, the one thing...
Listen, can we collectively forget about midichlorians, okay?
I would love to.
Can we just agree?
Agree that it's all bullcrap?
People call me a geek.
I mean, I would use it for the TV remote all the time. Now, the thing I liked is they took the hero's idea and created a bunch of anti-heroes that you begin to root for.
Yes.
And I really appreciated that, because you really, initially you're like, all these kids are pieces of crap who I used to be and hang out with in high school.
Right. I actually...
Yeah, so...
No, I actually agree. I think they did it the perfect way. I think they basically gave you all these people, and the way they presented it, like, okay, all these people are crappy, I have no horse in the race. Unlike Heroes, where you're watching, like, okay, this guy's that, and you start liking this guy. No, I like how they kind of did a blank slate.
And I like and maybe you should go back and actually watch the first episode, and this being the reason why, is when they get struck by the meteor and they get the powers, their probation officer goes absolutely batshit crazy and tries to kill them. Mm-hmm. And that's why they ended up killing him and dumping the bodies together later on. So that's what happens. Is that, you know, and then I'm sure you noticed that their new probation officer was trying to investigate him. That was his girlfriend or fiance or something like that of the original probation officer. So that's what's going on. It's a great story. I liked it. It's fun. It's something that is a good waste of time and a filler, and if you really want.
So, ladies.
Oh, totally. It is fun, and it's kind of dark, and it's really cool. It's got that kind of cool sensibility and very British, but. You know, it's the kind of the side of British TV you don't see too often as an American, you know.
Because most of the British stuff they show on PBS, and I don't think this would pass the
Are you being
the litmus test.
Faulty Towers?
So, ladies and gentlemen, next week is Ryan's pick, so let's hope he chooses a better one than James did for this episode. So, Ryan,
batter's up. Oh, I love this episode.
Well, we are switching hardcore gears. I decided not to torture you and pick time instead of picking Time Cop. I'm going to go with, I know you're disappointed. I'm sorry.
I kind of am.
Perfect.
I know, man. Everybody wants to see Bruce McGill, but I'm sorry. Not this week. There's a documentary came out a few years ago that once I saw it, it's one of the only documentaries I ever watched twice. It was directed by Teller from Penn and Teller.
Nice.
And I was trying to look up what year it came out.
Oh.
Directed by Teller from Penn and Teller, came out in 2013, and it's a documentary film called Tim's Vermeer.
Tim's Vermeer?
Tim's Vermeer. Tim, the name Tim, and then Vermeer. By like the painter Johannes Vermeer.
Okay.
I won't really tell you much about it because it's explained in like the first 30 seconds of the documentary, but it's quite wonderful. And like I said, I'm telling anybody who will listen about this thing.
So the question
is, I figured since John's in love with his TriCaster at the moment, this actually follows the inventor of said TriCaster.
I love my poor TriCaster. Now I'm just hoping it never ends of life on me because that damn thing is ridiculously expensive. So do you have a TV show, or are we going to have to do what I'm afraid we're going to have to do?
Oh, unfortunately, we are going to have to roll the dice, buddy.
James?
One second.
I need like a dice effect, you know, shaking the can and...
So, I'm actually going to go a little bit off the rails here.
I'm not sure if I like that.
Are you sure?
Knowing you, I don't know.
So, we're going to go in a time machine back to 1994, and I'm picking Gargoyles, 1994.
Hell yeah.
Season 1, episode 12, Her Brother's Keeper.
Wow. I James kind of redeemed himself just a little bit. I'm going to say a little bit. So, ladies and gentlemen, I gave the movie 8 Heads in a Duffel Bag a 1. James gave it a 1.5, and he freaking picked it. Ryan gave it a 1.5. We're doing Tim's Vermeer.
Vermeer, yeah.
And Vermeer, correct. Gargoyles, Season 1, Episode 12. And as always...
I want to say I'm a little embarrassed on how excited I was. Yeah.
And as always, thank you for listening. We'll be right back.